Thank you. All lines are now bridged.
Okay. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Conditions and Maintenance Certification Task Force. With us today, we have our co-chairs, Denise Webb and Raj Ratwani, of the members, Kevin Kalamoto and Sasha Termont. At this time, I will turn it over to Raj to continue our discussion of the outstanding recommendations.
Great. Thank you, Lauren. So Denise is in the car, so I believe does not have access to what we're showing on the screen. So we can read things out for her. And
I'm trying. I'm actually trying to log in. I'll let you know if I get on.
Oh, great. Thank you.
And I'm not driving. My husband's driving.
Good. And then the other sort of challenge we're going to have here is I was only on part of the overall meeting call, so I don't know what a lot of what was discussed. So Ken, Sasha, you'll have to certainly chime in and help. So we can start jumping through these. If you want to go to the next slide and go to the first one that we need to talk through.
Yeah, we left off on number 22, Raj, and then we have 25.
Great. Okay. So 22 is up on the screen now and relates to the APIs. Does anyone remember the kind of key issues that were coming up during the committee meeting?
I'll let Sasha or Ken review what we discussed last time related to the committee meeting. We sort of ended the meeting last time not really knowing what to do with this recommendation. So, Sasha?
I'm still logging into the web view. This is the one about the bulk access?
Yes.
So, Raj, just to catch you up, what we had talked about, I guess, during the overall committee meeting was that the task force got some feedback from Arian Malik that he actually, I guess, did not support our recommendation and instead felt that ONC had chosen an appropriate way to introduce bulk access APIs by not specifying a particular standard and allowing some amount of, experimentation with approaches until while still setting the expectation that FHIR was sort of the expected route. He pointed to the success of that approach in the ONC 2015 edition when APIs were initially introduced with a similar approach with FHIR at that point. And so our recommendation had been that we thought a standard approach was preferable to that type of variation, and also that we had concerns because there isn't a widely adopted standard approach currently, or at all adopted standard approach, we had concerns about the timeline. So our work group discussion last time had focused on different approaches. We acknowledged the merits of Arian's feedback to the task force. We still have, I think, some amount of reservations about a non-standard approach and or adopting a standard that hasn't actually been really used in the wild yet. Ken gave us some background about sort of the current state of the bulk APIs in FHIR development. And so one of the kind of things we ended our last call on was whether we should recommend an alternate timeline for bulk FHIR APIs. And if so, would that be agnostic to the standard that is used or still in conjunction with the recommendation we had before about recommending that a standard be selected rather than having potential variation in approach. Ken, is that a reasonable summary?
I think so, yes.
Thank you, Sasha.
And one other thing I'll add, Raj, I know we have a call scheduled for all of the co-chairs for the four task forces
mm-hmm.
to sort of talk about cross-cutting issues. And I think in general, the co-chairs all need to talk about the timeline and whether we want to make an overall recommendation that specifies a particular timeline for all of these changes that have to be made and be ready and delivered to the health IT developers, customers, and for those health systems and healthcare providers to be ready to go. So one overall recommendation on the timeline, but then on this particular recommendation related to bulk access, to maybe specify based on the existing timeline. Do we think we recommend that the implementation of this be delayed, maybe 36 months?
So it seems like kind of our choices on the table are acknowledge Arian's feedback, but persist with our previous recommendation, modify the recommendation, and we've talked about two modifications. I guess one would be to acknowledge the complexity of standards work in this area by just suggesting a longer time frame, to me throughout 36 months. Another modification would be to, I guess, potentially not set a specific time frame, but to sort of say, you know, some amount of time, kind of like our current framing, some amount of time after pilots are successful or something along those lines.
Yeah, that might be better than a time certain. And maybe we endorse in some fashion what Arian is suggesting, but saying that ONC should set the expectation that they're moving to the fire release if they accept our other recommendation, R4, and that's what their expectation is from a functional implementation standpoint, that the health IT development community would be working towards with the additional time to prove it out.
A non-binding sort of recommendation, or not I think this was Arian's point. With ONC 2015 edition, the original publication, I think ONC made it clear that they expected and even encouraged use of fire, even though it wasn't required. So Denise, I'm kind of hearing you say like maybe they would do the same thing here.
Yeah, I mean, what do y'all think about that? And then if that's the case, maybe our recommendation is just along the lines that they changed the timeline for this particular certification requirement, different from the others.
That seems like it would be a reasonable incorporation of Arian's feedback and the sentiments of our original discussion on this item.
Yeah, this is kind of, I think that's fine. I mean, the messaging is pretty clear. I think key for this, too, is that the facilitation occur, that this work does happen. If we think it'll happen regardless just with the telegraphing, I think that's fine. If we feel that there should be some other additional support provided, I think that could be useful, too. But I think the general approach of say where the goalposts are likely to be and give folks time to work towards that, I think is probably reasonable. I think having the actual time limit for the functionality to be available, I think is important, because otherwise, you know, folks won't be, you know, like anything, right? When you have 100 different things to do, if, you know, one of them doesn't have an actual timeline, it becomes the last thing you work on, which means never.
Good point. So I'm actually able to see my screen now, just to let y'all know. So what do we think we should change on here?
So it sounds like we want to take out.
Yeah, the screen grayed out. Okay, it's fine.
I think we want to take the standards discussion out and put in some of the recommendation and put in some discussion points about how we expect ONC to encourage use of fire in the preamble. And also that we, as the committee, would encourage further work on the standards that we see as being important to this area. And then in the recommendation, I think we want to just say that we're setting a longer time frame in recognition of further standards work that's important.
So, Sasha, are you actually the Google Doc?
I will be into the Google Doc in 1 minute. You want me to suggest some text when I get logged in?
Yeah, and you, I don't know if you were indiscernible to others, but you cut in and out. Was that just me that missed what you were suggesting?
I think it might have been on your end.
Oh, you think it's on my end? Okay.
Yeah,
I
might
have
been.
Okay, so as long as the others heard. So, Raj, what are you thinking?
I think that makes sense. I mean, I'm not familiar with the other framework that Arian is referring to, so I'd certainly need to look that up. But each of you has much more context here, and I think Sasha's suggestion is a good one. And I like it. I think it's appropriate to not tie it to a specific timeline. I think that always gets tough. But I think to say that when kind of when the pilots have shown that there's enough maturity, then it makes sense to advance.
I think that's for the specific standard, but I don't disagree with ONC saying, you know, there must be this kind of capability within X years, right? Like the absolute years.
Well, what do you think about extending the timeline at least, saying at least 12 months? Because when I look at everything the rules asking to be accomplished, it just seems, on top of everything else that's going on for healthcare, it just seems too much. And that's just the general consensus. I think that's what ONC is going to hear from the majority of the public, that the timeline's too aggressive.
I think that makes total sense.
And then it would sort of interleave and align better probably with the TEF and Common Agreement implementation. I mean, they have to get the REC up and going. There's a lot to be done that all has interdependencies, I think. Is that you typing, Sasha?
It is, yes.
I see it.
My suggestion. Okay.
This is John. I'm sorry I joined late. I think there's a general principle of too fast here for the things that are on that kind of 24-month clock where, you know, the general thought is not just specific to the API matter here. The fact that they expect you to recertify and roll out to your entire client base is just inordinately aggressive, I think, especially given everything else that's going on. So it isn't just their own work. It's, you know, we haven't faced that kind of demand quite before. I mean, in a manner we have where there have been required dates for certification editions to be exclusively the recognized versions, but typically those dates have, you know, been moved back a lot because of adoption challenges. And 24 months has just probably not ever been the case, except for maybe 2011 edition. Every other time it's been moderated, moved back, and they've learned that lesson from history. That's not actually something we've ever said in so many words in this letter. I don't think we need to, but that lesson is there for those who want to learn it.
Well, in 2011,
and John, I think you were
implementation too, because it not everyone started meaningful use at the same time.
Exactly, that's true. There was a lag between hospitals and physicians at that time, for one, and you're right. I just think that's a lesson from history that I don't know where the 24 months comes from, thinking that an adequate amount of time to do all of that.
Right. And John, I think you were on the call when we had the public comment last Friday from Mari at Chime.
Yeah.
But she pointed out that page in the proposed rule that tells the health IT vendors that they just have to have all of this implemented, but they're not going to have to go through the, I think it was the conformance test thing. They wouldn't have to retest. I don't know, the CIOs are really uncomfortable with that, having discovered that.
I probably didn't gravitate to that necessarily, and maybe I'm confusing with the fact that, you know, real world testing is in its own pilot, and that requirement's kind of a interesting one relative to the timing of the 24-month rollout as it's proposed, because your first real world testing would probably be against the current capability, because inevitably there's going to be overlap in the first full year in 2021 if they were to implement real world testing as a true first year requirement for everyone, not on a provisional basis. But I think it just adds to the argument.
Yeah, I think they're suggesting the real world testing, you have a test plan delivered, but you're not necessarily going to have the testing done before you deploy your product that has all of the changes.
Well, it makes a lot of presumptions about when the final rule would be final and the timing of everything.
Yeah.
But I think it just suffice it to say 24 months is insufficient to get all of that done. And I do respect the point raised about the discomfort of, you know, if they're taking updates that haven't been subjected to that the level of rigor that normally is there and nothing has preceded it during that rollout. But the greater point is it's a lot of updates to get done to attain whatever certification requires of you and to roll it out to your entire client base.
Right. Well, I like what Sasha typed up, because then if the overall committee recommends a timeline change for everything, I still think the bulk queries are just going to...
Yeah, it's its own issue.
Yeah, it's so nascent that giving that particular criterion extra time without saying how many months total here, that's good. Hopefully that addresses what Ken was concerned about. So, Sasha, did we think we were going to say something about, endorsement of their approach with the telegraphing the expectation that they're going to move to a particular release of FHIR?
So I put that in the...
Or is that necessary?
Down a little bit, the off the screen. So I put the sort of, which wouldn't be in the regulatory recommendation, but just from context, I guess.
Okay.
I was saying...
Oh, yeah, that's a good idea.
Background to our discussion.
Let's see. We could say, rather than having a recommendation in the discussion points, we could say we endorse ONC. Whoops, keep losing my connectivity. Sorry. Must be in a bad zone here. We endorse ONC setting the or taking this or setting these expectations but not requiring this approach or something like that. I just want us to be kind of sensitive not to make a recommendation within the discussion points. So we need to just change our wording.
Hello, is everyone still on?
Yep. I'm reading what you've typed.
Oh, that's fine. It got quiet for a moment. I worried I got disconnected.
Oh, this looks good to me.
Yeah, this is Raj. I agree. Other comments from folks on what Sasha kindly wrote down for us?
Could you bring that back into view for the second paragraph, please? I was just finishing review. First paragraph looked absolutely fine. I just want to take a quick look at the second. Okay, that's fine. Thank you.
So our recommendation really is around addressing the timeline for this particular criterion.
Yes, with these edits incorporating Arian's feedback.
Okay.
Okay.
Did I hear Les? I was just
going
to ask.
Yeah.
Did I hear Les join? Oh, you are on Les?
Yeah.
Did he say yes?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, good. Okay. Sorry, Raj. Go ahead.
I was going to say any other comments or thoughts on recommendation 22 and what Sasha just put down. Okay. Does this capture everything that in the full committee was raised related to Arian's point and anything else that may?
I think so.
All right. Well, we can move to the next if everyone's okay with this.
So I think, Raj, on this one where we left off, I did advance a Google Doc, and maybe Kate can pull that up.
Sorry, I'm going back to pull it up.
All right, great. But while we're waiting for her to pull that up, I actually went back and read the regulatory text, and one concern I have about what we were discussing last time, we were suggesting, I think our area of real concern to get consensus as a committee was around real-world testing. I think I had real-time testing here, but I meant real-world, was the API fees. That those would not be applicable to self-developers that are not offering their products commercially. But after reading the regulatory text and having just come from a health system that did do self-development but was not offering it commercially, they were, however, through contractual relationships, offering it to unaffiliated entities. So it was not put out. They weren't holding out in the market for customers, but they were charging fees to another health system to use their self-developed certified technology. And so I think we have to revisit the fees, because now when I read the fees, I think they would apply to self-developers if they're offering their technology to anybody but their own legal entities. Just because of the implications of that. So I wanted to open that up for a point of discussion.
This is John. That's a fair point. Maybe that's addressed by a fairly simple statement to say, and I'm not exactly sure where it would go, but to say something to the effect of, to the extent self-developers do offer their API related certified capabilities for sale to affiliates or what have you, they're subject to the same rules. One would wonder
so
how
take
that
the word commercial out. Blind. Sasha, are you in this? Can you change real-time testing to real-world testing?
That could be tough. The other thing I was going to mention is if any parenthetical note is needed to make sure the intent is clear that inclusion applies, because people that read it still might conclude commercial.
Where is this?
Resale, either commercially or through some sort of contractual relationship with an unaffiliated,
provider.
Provider.
Sorry, I'm having to edit, but I don't actually have this link. Never mind. I got it. I'm in.
You got it? Okay.
Yes, thank you.
Oh, because I was going to see if I could pull it up. I think I might have been in there. I think I do have it. Let me see. It says I'm offline now. No, it looks like I'm in it. Oh, you're in it too. Okay, Sasha, you're in it. See down below where it says on APIs are offering their certified products for resale. We could take for resale either commercially or through a contractual relationship with unaffiliated providers.
I would
go ahead. Who was that?
Resale. It doesn't have to be. The word commercial isn't necessary. It's anybody who sells the product has to follow the same rules. If they give it away.
Okay, that's fine. That's a good point, Les. Pardon?
I'm proposing some edits in the document. Sorry.
Oh, I can't hear you. You're fading out. Let me turn you on.
Oh, sorry. I was just saying I'm proposing some edits in the document just per the discussion.
Okay.
I guess my proposed wording here acknowledges that it's probably unlikely that these provisions would apply to self-developers, but if they have contracts or commercial arrangements with respect to them, they would be subject to these conditions of certification.
Yeah, and I think, Sasha, you don't want to say certified APIs. We're talking about certified health IT modules. Obviously, the modules that would incorporate the interoperability requirements. It's not all their modules, but the ones that are subject to CMC.
Sure.
Okay. Can we scroll up just a little bit so we can see the... So what does everybody think about this? Oh, I'm on the wrong screen. Sorry.
Are we, Denise, looking at the edits I just made to APIs or to the discussion about concern about burden?
Oh, no. No, this is good. So here's the, I think this covers the entire, well, the recommendation is a little bit off the screen above. Or no, it's all in here. Okay, evaluate the appropriateness. I'm just reading through our recommendation now. Let's see. All right, would everybody be good with this now?
I find the discussion part that's off the screen a bit confusing with the wording, but the parts that are on the screen right now are okay.
Oh, why don't we scroll up and look at the discussion so we can make sure we're all good with that? Or scroll down, I'm sorry. Up, down.
The first sentence of the discussion just is very long. So people might develop other modules, and those people might participate in federal programs that require those modules to be certified. Okay, is that what the first sentence says? Okay.
Yeah.
And then we're universally applying all aspects of CMC. So then the second sentence just says that we're concerned about burden.
Yep.
I think both sentences are quite wordy,
yeah.
And so it was hard for me to parse.
Yep, they are. Any kind of amendments would be welcome.
I would say, what if we tried to simplify like this?
Okay, yeah, that's a good change.
Health system or providers using the self-developed software may participate in federal programs that require this. Certain of these programs, you mean certification?
No, I
may require that certain of these self-developed modules be certified.
Yeah.
Task force is can.
I don't know that you need to say certain of these. I think we're trying to over-clarify. I think you can just simply say it may participate in federal programs that require self-developed health IT modules to be certified or something like that.
Yeah.
Yes. That sounds good. Fewer words.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I think it sets up fairly well.
Those are good changes. Much more concise. So that sort of explains our concern and why we want ONC to carefully evaluate what they're proposing related to self-developers.
Yeah, give background.
And this addresses, I believe, addresses also Carolyn's. She sent a note out and was really concerned, as I am, about not putting innovation before patient safety, because I have actually seen that happen, and I think she has too. So I think this would address her concern without coming out and saying that specifically. But, of course, we'll need her to review this and make sure she's good with it too. So, Les, would you be able to endorse this as changed?
Yes.
Okay, great. Ken, you were one of the other folks that were a little concerned about the original recommendation.
Could you scroll it up a little bit more, too? I don't think that changed, but to see the whole thing.
Yeah, I don't know if you can put this on full screen. So we can see the whole thing, Kate.
I would change the contracts or commercial arrangements to has commercial contracts or arrangements. What if you had a research grant to work on it that, or, you know, that would still be a contract. It just, right, like if you were in a demonstration project with CMS and they gave you a contract.
Here, you mean?
But what is the definition of a commercial contract? Because I think we're going to have to be more specific that we're talking about contracts where the technology is actually being used to deliver health care in
yeah.
a non-research setting.
Oh. Or outside the context of their own health systems, right, an affiliate network.
Well, I think the
right.
challenging part is that even if you had, like, a research contact camp, I think the expectation is that you still wouldn't, like, charge patients for use of the USCDI APIs, right? And so I don't know that it actually matters if the contract is commercial or not. The idea is you shouldn't, you should still adhere to the pricing expectations of this this proposal.
Oh, because it's specifically about APIs. Yeah, okay.
Yes.
Yeah, now that I think about it, maybe what you had originally, Sasha, with respect to the APIs, change it back. I apologize because I was thinking this was just in general about health IT, but it was specific to APIs. So where you have, to put it back to what you originally had proposed with respect to the I think you had certified APIs. We want to say if the self-developer has contracts or commercial arrangements to provide self-developed module software with respect to the certified APIs. I mean, it's actually not the API that's certified, right? It's the product that has the API capability.
Yes.
I'm just getting hung up on that a little bit.
I guess what we would really say is that health IT module is certified to the specific criteria.
Okay.
We could list them if we wanted to, like, be more specific.
Well, that is what we're talking about here, because other things that they have certified, there is no CMC related to fees. It's only with products certified for these specific API functionality. Yeah, because that gets at the concerns like Ken and Les had it. You know, we need to narrow this appropriately, that it's not overly broad and hitting all their certified software. So Raj, do we have consensus?
I mean, it sounds like it. This works for me. Any objections for what we have up on the screen now? Okay, doesn't sound like it, unless people are muted. Denise, were these the only two that needed to be addressed today? Did you get through everything previously, or
we We did. Did you want us to review with you what we did on the others to make sure you're good to go on it?
I don't think we need to do that. With the group. I can look at it independently, and then if I have questions, I can just reach out to you. I don't think we need to spend people's time on that.
Okay. So, team, do we need to have a meeting on Friday, or is it good to cancel that? And I can check with Carolyn offline to make sure she's good with this. Because I think we have everybody but Carolyn, correct? Yeah. So if we could get all of you, we could clean this. We're not going to clean this up because we're going to present it to the previous recommendations, the previous four. We're going to present with the track changes to the full high tax in our slides so they can see what we did to address the comments. This is a new recommendation they have not seen, so we'll provide this with the changes all incorporated. So maybe what Raj and I could ask you all to do is to have one last review and confirm by email that we're good to go on these five. And then I don't see any reason why we would need to have a meeting Friday unless there's some major issue. We can wait till Friday to cancel unless you all think we're good to go.
Did that work for everybody? Does anybody feel like we should keep that meeting Friday? I think, I prefer to cancel now if we think that we're not going to need it, just to free up that time for everybody.
I'm good.
I think that's fine.
John, Ken, Wes?
I'm good.
Yeah, I'm fine.
Ken still there? Or is he on mute?
Maybe I had to drop off or something like that. You good? Okay. So let's go ahead and cancel Friday's meeting. I think we're in a good place and got through this stuff pretty quickly, so thank you all for doing that. And we can go from there.
All right, so we... Lauren, we still need to do public comment, right?
Yep, we do. So let's just go to public comment really quickly.
If you would like to make a public comment, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. A confirmation tone will indicate your line is in the queue. You may press star 2 if you would like to remove your comment from the queue. For participants using speaker equipment, it may be necessary to pick up your handset before pressing the star key.
Thank you, operator. Do we have any comments in the queue?
There are no public comments at this time.
Okay. So I think that just about wraps up everything. Denise or Raj, anything else before we adjourn?
No, we can check in with you all on a debrief, and then I think we're good.
Thanks, everybody, for jumping on and working through all this. I know this is a huge time commitment, so we appreciate everybody participating here.
Great. Thanks, everyone.
Great. Thanks, all.
All right. Have a great day, everybody.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thanks, folks.